different and so new was like any other until I kissed you.
Welcome back to another edition of Broomsticks and Butterbeer, episode 162. I'm Dan Rhino.
I'm Jessica Rhino.
And we are completing our journey through Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. We're going to be recapping chapter 29, talking about chapter 30, then we'll take a brief pause and watch the movie.
Ooh.
And then come back and do a little compare and contrast, maybe make a Venn diagram.
I guess we'd have to like post that though, because they can't see the Venn diagram.
The Patreon people can.
Patreon members.
Yeah, they have access to all of our cameras in the house.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's like $9.99 a month, and they get access to all the cameras in our house.
Huh. That's not good.
It's $9.99 a month. It's a good deal.
It's a good deal. I just wasn't aware.
Have there been things that the Patreon members have seen that you are not sure that you want them seeing?
Well, yeah. There's a camera in that back bedroom that I check on the dogs sometimes.
Yeah, they have access to that one.
Yeah, that's not good.
My work clothes
are in that closet. I change clothes in there a lot.
Patreon subscribers really jumped ever since we gave them access to the camera.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
And it's funny, a lot of people are not even Harry Potter fans that are signed up.
Hmm.
Pretty cool to kind of build this little community that we have here by giving them access to us.
I will have to be more aware of that.
Well, if subscriptions start dropping, then
then we know what the problem is.
Then we're going to need you to go back to your regular routine.
Huh.
But for now, let's talk about what we talked about last time, chapter 29, the Phoenix Lament. After the death of Dumbledore, Harry and Jenny head to the infirmary, where a lot of our heroes are healing. Bill Weasley is in the worst shape, and after his encounter with Greyback, Fox the Phoenix is depressed and singing a sad song for everyone to hear. Harry fills everyone in on the fact that Snape is the one who killed Dumbledore. There's a lot of survivor's guilt going on as everyone blames themselves for Dumbledore's death. We get a nice scene where Fleur and Molly actually accept and like each other for the first time. Tonks openly proclaims her love for Lupin, even though he's like 100 years older than her.
I don't think that's accurate. Is that what your notes say?
Yeah, that's what my notes... If it's in the notes, then it's...
Oh.
Notes were prepared by 7 or 8 interns that we have, and if they want to keep their job, I would assume that everything that they put in here is correct.
They must not have had their coffee or something.
Well, coffee's gross, so we don't allow it in this house.
That's why.
McGonagall is now headmistress of Hogwarts. The heads of houses meet with McGonagall, and they decided that they will send all the students home right after Dumbledore's funeral. Harry tells Ron that on his journey with Dumbledore, the Horcrux was not there and had been replaced by a fake with a note inside that said R.A.B.
Rab.
So that was the penultimate chapter. Here is the ultimate?
The ultimate? Wow.
The Ultimate Warrior was my favorite wrestler growing up.
It's kind of a downer to be an ultimate chapter.
Kind of a downer, too, because he ended up being a huge racist.
Oh.
Yeah, when I got older, I found he was just a horrible person.
Wow.
Racist and a homophobe. And
they say don't meet your heroes.
Yeah. Don't even learn things. Don't even read things about your heroes. Don't have to meet them.
That seems on brand for this.
Chapter 30, The White Tomb. It's time for Dumbledore's funeral. Some students are being taken immediately by their parents from Hogwarts and not sticking around for the funeral. Meanwhile, Hogsmeade is packed with people pouring into town wanting to be there to pay their respects. And that's probably a tough decision to make. Surely so many people respected and loved Dumbledore and want to be there. But with Voldemort out there doing his thing and Dumbledore gone, the funeral is probably a pretty dangerous place to be, right?
Yeah, you would think it would be like a
target.
A target.
Mm-hmm. Like a terrorist target.
I wasn't following you there for a second. I thought you were still talking about the parents that were taking their kids away.
You still can't get over the cameras thing that we got going on in the house.
Yeah, I'm still distracted by the cameras. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we had, you know, the ministry saying all the newspapers and stuff saying such bad things about Dumbledore. And a lot of people bought into it. And, you know, it got kind of cleared up, but who knows where some of those people still fall.
I mean, even with the proof of everything that we have going on, there is still people that probably believe that Voldemort's not back.
Yeah. That and that's like,
know, despite, and yeah, that's just like,
at that point, they're just trying to, like, they can't cope. They're just, that's like, just like, I can't
world
deal
we live
with
that, right,
so
now.
I'm going to pretend.
You have
it's
all
fine.
The facts right in front of you, but you still don't want to believe it. You still have faith that you're, the way you believe something to be occurring is correct.
Yep.
Despite proof. All the facts that are in your face. You'll say, oh, well, that's made up by so-and-so. That person has an agenda. That network has an agenda. And it's the way that the media is portrayed in these last few books, and the way that, like, the wizarding government is kind of trying to control the news cycle is eerily reminiscent to what we're going through, especially, I mean, we've been going through it for years.
Yeah, I was going to say, just the real world.
Yeah, just the real world.
The real world.
But really, it's been magnified the last decade or so,
mm-hmm.
as news and information has become easier and easier to get your hands on. You know, back in the 60s, you had to turn on the news, you know, one of a handful of channels, or you had to read the newspaper, but there was no internet. There was...
Now,
you know, constantly,
you know,
beaming information. And then not everybody had access to be able to put their spin out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you have, you know, podcasters are getting credentialed at the White House, you know, to the point where everybody has an opinion, but now everybody has their way of putting that information out there and spinning it for their followers to get them to agree with what their interpretation of things are. But it's just another example of how these books really do mirror some of the things that we have going on in our own world.
Yeah. Sorry, I just thought you were going with...
I don't
it
know
was
where
weird.
I'm going. I don't know where I'm going.
It was weird that people were taking their kids before the funeral and not letting them go to the funeral. That's why I thought you were going, but then you went another direction.
Yeah,
but then I had a
I can
thought.
See why they wouldn't want them to be there.
Yeah,
you know, I can see like I can see both ways for sure. It's, you know, Dumbledore was there's a lot of parents, I think, that despite all the shenanigans that have been going on at Hogwarts the last 6 years, that they still let their kids go there because Dumbledore was there.
Yes.
And Dumbledore's like the ultimate, you know, nullifier to any kind of evil that could be, you know, present or going on or potentially affect the school. And now he's not there anymore. So if the bad guys can get to Dumbledore, they can get to anybody.
Anybody.
And having this big meeting of, you know, these powerful wizards from all over the world coming to
and his supporters,
honor, yeah,
it would be a good...
That'd be a great way to take everybody out in one fell swoop.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see why parents would not want their students to be there. And we do have some good news in the fact that Neville has been discharged from the hospital wing, but Bill's wounds are just not healing at all. And no magic that they've tried, no matter how powerful, has been able to heal them. So it made me wonder, If Bill drank a polyjuice potion.
Yeah.
To look like someone else, would his open wounds
heal?
Show up just on the other person's face and body that he's temporarily using?
I would like to say no, because like scars and deformities don't show up.
That's what I was wondering.
But this is different because it's a cursed wound. Mm-hmm. So maybe the magic can't touch it. Maybe he would have scars. Or would have open wounds.
Yeah.
But I mean, we know eventually that they heal up-ish. So temporarily, yes, I think they would still show up.
So I guess I kind of wondered, like, if they wouldn't show up for the time being, I wonder if there's something about polyjuice potion that could be studied that could, like, permanently hide, if not heal, wounds like that. It just kind of, I was thinking about that, and I was kind of thinking about, like, the mRNA vaccines and how forward into, you know, the future that technology seemed to be when they started using that for the COVID vaccine, and that they were able to come up with that vaccine so quick because of this advanced technology. And technology isn't really a concept in the wizarding world, but if you kind of apply the concept to magical healing, if there's a potion or something you can drink to make you look like somebody else, and if those scars would not translate to the new person's face and body, that there might be something, experiments that could be done with polyjuice potion that could potentially, you know, hide deformities like that.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to take a sip every morning, just like you take your allergy pill, but
I think that would work more for like the scarring issues.
Mm-hmm.
Than like a permanent
than a healing issue.
Than a healing.
Yeah.
And the only thing we've really been told about this is that nothing's like working on it. Like it's almost like a barrier. Nothing can work on it. So if we just stick with that information, I would think the polyjuice potion wouldn't work on it either.
You think they've tried hydrogen peroxide?
Ooh, you're not really supposed to. You're not really supposed to put hydrogen peroxide on cuts anymore. They told
what?
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
I do that all the time.
No, you're.
I like when it bubbles.
Yeah, that's fun. Like a little.
I was like, well, this has got to be doing something. Look at the bubbles.
It is, but it's also killing your good tissue.
What?
Yep, you're killing the bad stuff and the good stuff.
So, hold on. When did this news come out?
I don't know.
A long time ago? So what's the point of hydrogen peroxide then?
I don't know. I think it's like baby powder. They're not supposed to use that anymore either.
My mom used to just cover us in baby powder. Like head to toe, we were just... Like we were
little white ghosts.
Like we were rolling around in the snow, like she buttered us up and rolled us around in flour before, you know, breading us to put us in the fryer.
Yeah, there's something. I don't have kids. Don't know all the ins and outs of that, but I've heard that like they don't use baby powder anymore.
Yeah,
that's not what. It's like Q-tips. You're not supposed to put them in your ear.
Oh God, it feels good.
That's
though.
Not what they're for. I don't know what they're for.
I remember the doctor.
They
told
will
me
tell
that.
You. Please do not put
I
these
said,
in your
I
ear.
Said, yeah, I got this. Like I had like a swimmer's ear, mm-hmm. And he's like, "You're not sticking Q-tips in your ear, are you?" I was like, "Of course I am."
You're like,
they're perfectly
no
engineered what? In order to go into the. And it feels so good when you get in there. You get in deep, you know.
And you're not supposed to do that.
Kind of roll it around a little bit.
I did it this morning, but you're not supposed to do that.
You literally just did it this morning.
I know. I got water in my ear.
You're not using Q-tips, are you?
I did it tonight, Wings Ear, too.
Oh.
You gotta get that gunk out.
So, I don't know.
It's all a lie.
Everything's a lie. I don't know. Apparently, baby oil is...
Powder.
Baby powder. And baby oil, maybe it's next.
Something else. I don't...
Baby powder is dangerous. Q-tips are killing us.
Mm-hmm.
And hydrogen peroxide.
Hydrogen peroxide.
Things that I've been using for years. 45 years.
You've been using baby powder for 45 years?
Sometimes I've used baby powder in probably the last few years.
Huh.
There's some in the cabinet right now, I think.
How old is that?
30 years, maybe.
You've been working on the same container.
It's a big bottle of baby powder. I think it's still in there.
I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes when
hydrogen
you just
peroxide's in there, that's for
oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah, I use that stuff every day on all my cuts. I just bathe in it. I just draw a bath and just lay there and just heals everything. Yeah. I just bubble.
You know they have, like, bath bombs. You could just have a bath with the
now,
bubbles.
That sounds dangerous. It's got the word bomb in it.
Oh.
Hydrogen peroxide. Actually, there is a hydrogen bomb, so... So I guess that does sound kind of dangerous, too.
See?
But baby powder, that sounds so harmless. And sometimes you just need a little freshener.
Uh-huh.
You know? You don't want to take a full bath, but you just need a little freshener from the baby powder.
I'm just picturing, like, in the movies when they get... I know it's not baby powder, but they're putting the powder on their face with the big poofy thing.
Yeah, the big poofy thing.
That's what I'm picturing you in the bathroom with the baby powder with the big poofy thing.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Hermione tells Harry about some new information that she's uncovered.
R.I.B.?
No.
Oh.
Turns out Snape was half a prince. Snape had a muggle father, and his witch mother was named Eileen Prince. So he was half-blood and half-prince. And Harry points out the similarities between Snape and Voldemort. Neither is a pure-blood wizard. Both play up the pure-blood maternal side. Both wanted to be proficient in the dark arts. Both gave themselves cool new nicknames. So a lot of similarities there. And Harry is openly wondering, like, how could Dumbledore have not seen this? Do you think it's more of Dumbledore not seeing the similarities between Voldemort and Snape? Because he saw both of them from when they were students up to when they were adults. You think it's more of Dumbledore not noticing the similarities? Or Dumbledore definitely seeing the similarities and thinking that he could save Snape since he couldn't save Voldemort?
Yes.
Okay.
You're not going to say which one?
Yeah, which one?
The second one.
I feel like I'm talking to the
I know.
The help desk at my school district. I was like, so is it this that. Or is it this? And they send back, yes.
Yes.
Said, which one?
Maybe it's both. No, yeah, the second one. I think, I mean, because he didn't want to give up on Tom either. It just... He couldn't do anything to help Tom.
Yeah, some people are beyond saving. Mm-hmm. You can't save everybody. So you think it's more that I do see that there's the makings of something potentially bad here. I really want to do for Snape what I couldn't do for Tom.
Yes.
We got some more survivor's guilt as Harry is blaming himself for not turning the potions book.
Yeah, I feel like this should be the name of the chapter.
Into Dumbledore. Survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
Harry didn't know that Snape was the half-blood prince at the time, but now figures that Dumbledore could have... If he would have given the book to Dumbledore, Dumbledore could have figured out that the book belonged to Snape and this would prove that Snape was evil way back then. Maybe Dumbledore would still be alive. It seems like a lot of what-ifs.
Yeah, process. But that's just part of the process. People have to...
You got to go through the steps.
Yep. And part of that is analyzing every little thing that you could have done differently.
So we've got visitors like Madame Maxime, the Minister of Magic, Rufus Scrimgeour, and Percy is here.
Yeah, I kept giggling because every time Percy was mentioned, but he's just like standing there.
He's just standing
there. And it kept reminding me of the Percy did nothing because he's standing there doing nothing.
I would just think with Bill in the infirmary, probably scarred for life, Dumbledore dead, shouldn't this prove that Percy was wrong all along?
Yeah. But...
And shouldn't Percy be begging his family for forgiveness, crying at Bill's bedside, planning to get the people who did this? Shouldn't this have been like a big changing point for Percy? But it doesn't seem like he's any different.
Some people can't ever see that they're wrong or admit that they're wrong.
Do you think it's more that he doesn't see that he's wrong or he doesn't want to admit that he's wrong?
I think he doesn't want to admit it, so he refuses to see it. Simple.
Doesn't want to admit it.
So he refuses to see it. But I also think he's still a little hoity-toity about, you know, if you guys... Because he kind of, like, he wanted his family to stay out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not go against the ministry. You know, kind of like... But they're literally doing the very opposite of staying out of it. They are right there in the mix.
If you would have just let the ministry handle it,
yeah,
like
then
I said.
then Bill wouldn't be in the infirmary, and this wouldn't be happening, and a way to like blame it on them too. We had the incident earlier this week with the window and the dogs. So there's this house on our street. It's like two houses down. They have these little dogs that bark and go nuts and throw themselves at this low window anytime anyone walks by. And we have said multiple times that they're going to break the window. And they broke the window the other day. My neighbor and I were out there. We patched it up with some duct tape and some cardboard. And we went to all the neighbors' houses till we found somebody who had their phone number. We were doing all these things. And then later that day, I was talking to my neighbor again. And she goes, did he come over and say thank you? And I said, oh, no. No, he did not come over and say thank you for fixing his window and making sure his dogs were okay and all that stuff. And later I just was like, you know what? He probably just blames us. Like, if we hadn't been out there walking the dogs, then his dogs wouldn't have misbehaved and the window wouldn't have got broken.
Yeah.
You know, it's just how people think sometimes.
You change the narrative to fit whatever makes you comfortable, whatever helps you
and
sleep
at
night.
It was probably our fault. We were like walking too close to his yard or something like that, you know. And if we would just walk on the other side of the street, which is actually where we were, then the dog wouldn't get as riled up or whatever. You know, I'm sure there's some way that he has twisted it in his head that it was actually our fault and not that we helped.
Mm-hmm. And took time out of your day to... Mm-hmm. Cardboard up and duct tape up his
and wade through broken glass. There was so much broken glass. It was a big window.
That's wild. I just don't. These are little dogs. Like I just don't see.
But they're it's that like old window, single pane, aluminum frame.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not like ours that have like the double pane glass and.
Okay, you don't need to like.
Oh,
throw your money in everybody's face.
Oh, sorry. I'm just saying it's different.
Like, not everybody has it as easy as you do.
Just saying it was different.
And he
fixed it himself, apparently.
Like, fix a window?
Yeah. It's very handy.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. Because Peggy's like, oh, yeah, he was out there. I go, oh, because I was walking by. And I said, oh, he got it fixed already. She goes, oh, yeah, he did that the other night. He fixed it. And I was like, what do you mean he fixed it? Like, he just has glass, large sheets of glass in his basement. He went and cut it and stuck it back in there. And she's like, it was happened before. Apparently, the daughter brought the lab to visit one time over the holidays. And the lab went out the window after the mailman. Sorry, guys. You're getting the tea on our neighborhood. So he fixed it that time too. So apparently he just knows how to take care of that window.
Yeah, he might need to like call somebody and get like a professionally installed window.
But then he wouldn't be able to fix that one himself.
But he wouldn't need to fix it because dogs wouldn't be able to hurl themselves through it.
He's got to get that extra thin glass so he can cut it himself.
Ah, yeah, kind of like an X-Acto knife. Like, maybe that's part of the problem. Ugh.
The one on the other side is cracked. We noticed it while we were fixing it.
Of course.
While we were boarding up the one.
There's lots of others at the funeral as well, many of whom Harry is not fond of. Cornelius Fudge, Rita Skeeter, Dolores Umbridge.
Yeah, I totally forgot she makes another appearance. I felt like we just didn't see her for a long time after the centaurs carried her away.
It's just so weird how she's just still, after all the horrible things she did, just still like a public figure, like in the public eye.
Why do you think that's weird?
Because
Daniel.
Now, I know this happens in the real world, but I just thought that maybe the book would be different than the real world.
No. Art imitates life. Life imitates art.
Yeah, all that stuff.
All the things. Mm-hmm. Everybody's imitating things.
So we also have members of the Order of the Phoenix and some names that we haven't heard from in a while, like Ernie Prang, Arabella Fig, Ferenz, who Umbridge made sure to sit as far away from as possible, and Grop is even there.
Behaving.
Yeah.
Mostly.
So the actual funeral, I did think that it was weird that
you're already is this the same thing? Is this the same thing I thought was weird? Because I hope it was.
What did you think was weird?
The Hagrid carried in Dumbledore's body.
Yes, his limp body. Just like under a sheet. Like down the aisle. That's exactly what I had.
Maybe funerals are different across the pond.
No casket, no pallbearers, or, you know, for lack of a better term, more dignifying way to transport Dumbledore. Or was maybe
just
this is what
carrying
Dumbledore
him in like a rag doll?
Yeah, maybe this is what Dumbledore wanted. maybe he wanted everybody to see the state that he was in, and you know, maybe he wanted to leave a lasting impression or a message to see like how serious this the whole state of the wizarding world is. But just the fact that, and I even looked it up online. And there was like a drawing of it on like the Harry Potter wiki page of Hagrid, you know, carrying Dumbledore's limp body under a sheet and then putting him on the marble platform or whatever it was.
It was just too weird for me. I was just like, wait, what? We're doing what now?
Yeah. I don't know. I thought maybe he'd be on something and they'd levitate him down or maybe they'd already have him there.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah, not processed down the aisle like a bride.
Yeah. So I thought that was strange. But, so, what happened? Like, Dumbledore went up in, like, a poof of smoke or, like...
No, so he's laying on the table and, like, magic sparklers happened and the thing sealed around him.
Okay.
Like came up and
so
sealed.
He's encased in marble now?
Yes.
Gotcha. So the funeral's over. Dumbledore has been laid to rest. And Harry picks this as a good time to break up with Jenny.
Perfect timing. That's when you want to break up with somebody.
So what was Harry's theory behind needing to do this? And how did Jenny react?
Poor timing on Harry's part, but I kind of love it at the same time because he's like, we can't see each other
he's
anymore.
Like, Listen. We need to talk.
And she's just like, yes.
Uh-huh.
Like, still tear tracks down her face. Her nose is probably still all red. And him too, though. He was crying, so he's probably all puffy-eyed and just like, we gotta talk. I gotta go do some stuff.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be dangerous, and we can't be together anymore. And, I mean, like, not being together and, like, flaunting that you're together, but might be a good idea. But also, everybody already knows he cares for that family. Uh-huh. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Like Harry said, Voldemort already used you as bait once.
Yeah. Just because you were my friend's little sister.
Uh-huh.
And now if he knew that we cared for each other.
Was he going to use you as bait again?
And she's like, what if I don't care? Bring it, Baldy. He's like, I care. What if this was your funeral and it was my fault?
So Jenny does kind of eventually acquiesce to Harry. And
yeah.
But I don't think she really is accepting of it.
No. It's kind of like, whatever you want to think,
whatever,
honey.
Whatever you want to think in your head that we're broke. Okay, let's go ahead. You can think that we're broken up.
You can think that. But as soon as this business is over, you and I got to talk again.
I better not see you snogging with anybody else, because you're still mine.
Yeah. And I kind of love this moment, too, because she talks about how, you know, she's like, we all knew she had a crush on him when she was little. And this is kind of where we hear the moment where she's like always been in love with him, but she needed, but Hermione told her.
And she's been
her,
having these like conversations, you know, these girlfriend conversations with Hermione.
Yeah. And just, you know, kind of, I don't remember how she said it, but go do your thing.
Go sow your wild
oats. Sow your wild oats. Come back around to
Go
Harry.
Go date around.
He'll get
see
over
what's
it.
Out there.
Might even make him jealous, which is basically what happened.
That's not the worst thing.
And it'll all work out in the end. And he's like, Hermione's really smart.
She's pretty smart.
Smarter than me.
So as Harry walks off, we get Rufus Scrimgeour limping toward Harry, wanting a word. And this scene is very similar to the holiday scene at the Weasleys, right?
Yes. I'm ready.
So, what's Rufus up to?
Just same thing. Want to know what Dumbledore was doing on his last little excursion right before he died. But also wanted Harry to say he's doing a great job.
Yeah, I want you to
just
be the face.
Endorse
of,
me. Tell everybody everything's great. But I had to laugh, too, when I was reading this, because he did the...
Now, you all know I don't pick favorites, but Harry, he is my favorite.
He was like, you were probably Dumbledore's favorite student. And so I just kept hearing that afterwards.
Dumbledore's man through and through. Mm-hmm. You know what I would have done if Rufus wanted to talk to me?
What?
Just run away.
Just run away.
Or even just a brisk walk. Like, I don't
think...
He's like, I can't hear you.
La, 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 la.
Like, he wouldn't have been able to catch you.
No, no.
So, what's Harry's plan going forward, and how do Ron and Hermione fit into it as we wrap up this last chapter of book six?
So, it doesn't... I think the movie scene messes with me here, because they're not the same. And I'm like, we've already had this conversation. But it's like the conversation, but it's different. I don't know. It just messed with my head here because the movie and the book don't line up. But it's such an like iconic scene in the movie that this one doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he says he's going to go off and do this by himself and
find the rest of the
Horcruxes. And then take on Voldemort because that's the prophecy and he's got the one who has to do it. And he's just going to go do it and see you guys later. And they're just like, why are you so stupid? We're going with you.
Yeah.
Like, they don't come right out and say, this has obviously been Dumbledore's plan all along. He's had you tell us and keep us up to date on everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows it's going to come down to us three.
Yeah.
Like, just the fact that you don't see that. That's what
I'm
bop him upside the head.
I didn't even see it until you just said it right, though.
Oh, they gotta bop you too?
Yeah, you can bop me. Go ahead. But yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. Like, why else would Voldemort be so adamant about, I know you're going to tell them, so go ahead and tell them. Make sure. And then it got to the point where, make sure you tell them. You know, it got to the point where Dumbledore was like, kind of like, I know you're going to tell them anyway, so I'm okay with that. But then it got to you find out later on, Dumbledore was like, make sure you fill in Ron and Hermione.
Fill them in. Tell them what's going on.
But yeah, that makes total sense. So why can't Jenny be a part of this, though?
Jenny's just not part of the original three.
Okay.
That's against the rules of book writing.
Well, you know, Captain America wasn't an Avenger until issue 4.
What? But wait. I have an explanation.
Okay.
Comic books are different.
Okay.
No, I do have more of an explanation, but I wanted to just leave it there. but yeah, because comic books are more like a chapter, not a book.
Okay.
So you didn't meet, he wasn't an Avenger until like chapter 4, but he was still there from the beginning. Chapter 4 is still the beginning. They didn't meet Hermione until several chapters in. I mean, they met her, but they didn't befriend her until later, until after Halloween.
True that he's no Prince Charming, but you won't discover that
Captain America till chapter 4.
Yeah, like the original, just for you geeks out there who already know this, do you know who the original Avengers lineup was in issue 1?
I of course do, because I am married to you and you know all things comics. But I'm going to let you tell the listeners.
I want you to guess. Because it's fun. Just take a guess. So we've got, I'm trying to think, 1, 2, 5.
Okay.
And you know it's not Captain America.
It's not Captain America. There's somebody weird in there, though, that, like, is not really a thing.
These are all characters who are currently present in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Iron Man
is correct.
Yes. Hulk?
Hulk is correct.
Thor?
Thor is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Think small.
I was going to say Ant-Man.
Ant-Man is correct. Keep thinking small.
There's somebody smaller than Ant-Man?
Very similar in size.
Wasp?
Wasp is correct!
Okay. I didn't think both of them were in there. But they were.
But Hulk was not good in a team format. Like, he's very much a monster in those early books. And so he kind of goes off and does his own thing and after a couple of issues. And then they find Captain America in the ice. And that's how they bring... Because Captain America had been gone for... You know, that he was... His comic originally came out in the 40s for World War II. And then it kind of got silly to have Captain America around after World War II was over. Mm-hmm. Because he was such like a caricature of, you know, overly patriotic America at the time. But then Stan Lee figured out a way in the 60s to reintroduce him into the Marvel Universe, Marvel comic book universe, that is. So put that on your bingo cards. I don't know if we're still doing bingo or...
Oh, we should bring it back, though. Night.
We should bring it back.
Well, we found it in the ice.
In issue 4?
Yeah.
So that is it for chapter 30 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. I guess that all there's left to do is watch the movie?
Yeah. So I think we have to make some popcorn.
Okay.
Or something first, though.
So get snacks.
Snacks.
Watch the movie.
Movie.
Time travel back here.
Yes.
So people don't have to sit and listen to us pop popcorn and for 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe do like a 30-second time travel interlude and then come back and talk about the movie.
Sounds like a plan.
Sound good? All right, yep. Let's do it.
Bye for now.
Woo! We're back.
We're back.
You know, I get a little...
dizzy?
Get a little nauseous when we time travel like that.
Yeah.
Just feels like it's going to come up.
You're going to have to keep it down. We got to record.
So, overall thoughts on... We just watched the movie versus the book that we took a long time to get through. Your first thing you thought of when the movie was finished?
Oh, when it was finished? When we started, or while we were.
What's your big idea?
So we started the movie, and it took me a little bit to get acclimated, I feel like. I was like, wait, where do we start? And I said, for us, I feel like we have to go back in time, because we just spent all of this.
We just did that.
Yeah, well, before this, though. I felt like we were going back in time, but then later we went back in time. It's two different things. I know.
If there's not a Huey Lewis song playing, then you don't go back in time.
Oh, okay. Huh. I'm confused now. Anyway, I was confused at the very beginning. It just took me a minute to, like, reacclimate to this part of the book. I was like, mm-hmm. Where are we at? What's happening right now?
You had to recalibrate your brain.
Yeah. And then it just... The first half in particular felt so disjointed. It was just like, hey, come over here and peek in this window and see this thing. Okay, now we gotta go over here and look at this and look at that and look at this. There. Okay, you guys are caught up. We can go.
It's a big book to get down into a...
Yeah, and making a book
less
movie,
than 2 hour movie
is always complicated. Yeah. Like, it's basically impossible to make a book a movie.
And stay true to everything, yeah. It's a tough task.
But it was a little bit of whiplash there in the beginning. I was still trying to get acclimated. Like, we had just finished the last chapter, and then I had to reset my brain completely to the beginning of the book. I don't know why, like, I thought we'd turn on the movie and it would be the scene we just read. Like, that wasn't logical.
No.
But
that's not how,
that's not how it works.
How movies work.
But then we had to go on this bumpy ride, peeking in everybody's windows to get caught up.
Well, the thing that I noticed at the very beginning is that we actually get to see a lot of the damage that's happening in the Muggle world and the impact of Voldemort's return on the Muggle world. Like, we heard about it, and, you know, there was newspaper articles and stuff about it. But to actually get to see it, I think, made it a little bit more impactful for me to... all the people that died and the bridge collapse and, you know, people seeing weird things in the sky. And it really kind of, you know, makes it more real when you see it. But rather than in the book, you're just hearing stories about things that are happening in the Muggle world because of Voldemort's return. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a really interesting way to start the movie off.
Yeah.
There was a lot of foreshadowing in this movie. There was the line by Molly at the beginning when Harry shows up at the Weasley's place, and Molly says something like, well, I didn't know you were coming. And Harry's like, I didn't know I was either, but it was Dumbledore. And Molly says something like, oh, that man, but I don't know what would he do if he were not here, or if he were gone, or something
with him,
like
yeah.
that. There was also Draco on the train, on the Hogwarts Express.
He didn't have his head in anybody's lap.
No, he didn't. He didn't have the Slytherin girls swooning all over him. There was the line where Draco says, well, I don't see myself coming back. It's an awful school. I don't see myself coming back there next year anyway. I'd rather chuck myself off the astronomy tower than sit in potions again or something like that. Which, of course, you know, foreshadows the death of Dumbledore at the end. It was Luna that saved Harry on the train after he had been knocked out by Draco, not Tonks, like in the book. I thought that was interesting. But we've talked about that when we watch other movies before where, well, let's just use a character that's already there to do something that somebody else did in the book, because it's easier and it progresses the story a little bit quicker.
And I know we haven't gotten to that yet, but we just and that's the part of this one that irritates me so much, is like the Battle of Hogwarts doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen at all.
They walk in, they kill Dumbledore, they strut out. Nothing. They break a couple of windows.
Burn down Hagrid's hut.
That's it. Nothing else happens. Everybody else sleeps through it.
Yeah.
It is no big deal.
No, so, Bill Weasley Greyback encounter. Very different.
If we're going to ignore all of that and the Order of the Phoenix being at Hogwarts and helping protect the place, then there's no reason for Tonks to be there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if we're not going to do any of that, then having Tonks there seems really out of place, other than book people.
Sure.
So it was just easier to have Luna do it, mm-hmm. and not have to explain any of that.
I really like the way the first potions class works out, where Harry wins the liquid luck, and Hermione's hair gradually gets frizzier, and she gets more frazzled. Her physically, like her face and also her hair, and even like her robe seems just a little bit more off kilter as the class is going on, and she's not having the success that Harry is. And then that final scene at the end where everybody's kind of reluctantly clapping, including Hermione with her hair that probably looks more like the book character was originally conceived as. Mm-hmm. With bigger and bigger, frizzier hair, and a little bit, for lack of a better word, I think a little bit less cute.
Yeah.
In the book than she is in the movie.
I think in the books, when she goes to the Yule Ball, somebody like teaches her how.
Yeah, he has the big glow up moment.
Yeah, how to like straighten her hair, mm-hmm. and so just kind of like ever. And the same thing with the teeth. Once they fixed her teeth, mm-hmm. Madame Pomfrey fixed them. And then she found out how to like make mm-hmm. her hair do what she wants it to do magically, and she's fine after that.
That's all you need.
Now she's a cutie.
Good set of chompers and
control over
some
hair.
Some hair tips. What else we got here? The exterior Hogwarts scene of the bad guys like actively trying to get into Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. It was kind of just like a little short cut scene, but you see like Death Eaters, trying to
fly into
Hogwarts,
which is a whole thing. Cause that's not really how it works in the books. Yeah. They're not flying around. Right. They're just apparating in and out. Pop, pop, not.
But they had to have a little bit more of a visual representation mm-hmm. of that for the film. But you kind of just get these like little 3 or 5 second cut scenes where, oh, the bad guys are still out there. They're still trying to get in, but they can't get in.
Yeah. And I think
that kind of foreshadows like how they eventually, we try, we try, we try, we try, we try. We eventually figure out a way to get in.
And I think for the non-book people who are watching the movie, they're probably sitting there like, why don't they just go in? Mm-hmm. Like, why not just go in? And it's like, oh no, see, it's got a magical bubble around it.
Yeah,
no, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of see that when Luna and Harry were the last two to come up to the castle, mm-hmm. and Flitwick like is there and is looking for them, and then the gates close and there's like kind of this aura that shines up around it for protection.
We get a lot of Draco. I was actually kind of getting annoyed. Like, in the books, we get, I guess, what Harry's speculating at, but we don't actually know what he's doing until the very end. We don't know how it all comes together. And I don't know, I just thought it was weird, and they spent a lot of time showing us all these little steps.
Yeah. It was very weird, because had I not just read the book, there'd be a lot of things that I would be very confused about.
You'd be asking, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Why is he doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that you still do get the reveal moment at the end, because it doesn't clearly explain, but I don't know. I felt like we wasted a lot of time.
We did.
I would have rather just been like, hey, guess what? I fixed the vanishing cabinet in the.
Yeah, it's time that could have been better spent on other things that got, like
the battle.
The battle, for example, or the funeral.
It was a funeral.
Like, there was
no funeral.
None of that. No mourners, no funerals, Jess.
No.
Mr. Weasley was the one who explained vanishing cabinets to Harry in the movie. I don't think that was true in the book.
No, the vanishing cabinet in the Room of Requirement has popped up several times in the books.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody put somebody in it and they disappeared and then they're stuck in the pipes for a while.
For like a few days, yeah.
And you know, it gets referenced throughout the whole series.
And
not
Harry,
a lot.
And Harry even sees it in the when the bird comes flying out of it.
Mm-hmm.
When they're trying to hide the potions book yeah. later, which is another thing that I've got in my notes. It's very different. There was no Rufus Scrimgeour at all in this film. No
nope.
recruiting of
no.
Harry. No.
I'm Dumbledore's man through and through.
Yeah, there was none of that.
No declaration.
The scene at the Weasleys' home where Bellatrix shows up and there's the fire and Ginny and Harry chases after and Ginny chases after Harry and... Lupin chases after...
Made no sense.
Ginny and Tonks chases after Lupin, and Greyback is there, and they burn the house down. And I said to you, I said, did I miss that in the book? And you just you didn't even really respond to me. You seemed like kind of upset about it. You didn't even want to talk about it. You kind of went, no. And went back to watching the movie. So what were your thoughts on adding that scene and not having the... They didn't have the, you know, the Christmas break scene where Scrimgeour shows up and Percy and all that, which we didn't really need, I guess. But we also didn't need this scene.
No, we did not.
Like, and what did it accomplish,
really?
But
I think, like you really? Were saying before, we're just trying to prove that the bad guys are still out there.
Yeah.
Because we're having so little contact with the bad guys.
Uh-huh.
So... Maybe that's just what they were trying to get at, but it just didn't make sense.
No.
Like, why were they there? They were there to get Harry. They didn't get Harry, but what were they going to do if they got Harry? Like, that didn't even seem to be Voldemort's on his list
right.
of to-dos
at the
moment. It
seemed like they were just causing chaos just for the sake of chaos.
And possibly, because Bellatrix is Bellatrix, but it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, what were you going to accomplish?
I mean, I guess it could have been Bellatrix said, I want to mess something up.
I'm bored.
Greyback, come with me. Okay.
Okay, let's go. I don't know. It just seemed like a whole... The only thing I kept thinking is like, and this is the scene that made it into the Lego movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole level. Like... Mm-hmm. You have to go through the like grassland swampy area.
Yeah, you said Lego
do
movie,
whole
which meant Lego.
Lego
video game.
Sorry, yeah, the Lego game,
which are based on the movies, not the books.
Yes, so that makes sense. But I was just like, this whole pointless scene. We had to play in the game.
The scene where Ron gets drugged by the love potion, and then
you had so many giggles over there.
Because we've used that picture of Ron looking lovingly off into the distance. We've used that like on our trivias before.
Mm-hmm.
And I that picture always gets a laugh from everybody. But was Slughorn so helpless in the book? I felt like in the book he was like actively like trying to help when Ron was dying.
So this is another thing that was so different because we missed the potions class
about the bazaar,
where Harry uses it. You're uh-huh. supposed to be they were supposed to be making something uh-huh. that would counteract
yeah.
a poison.
I just shove a bazaar
and
bazaar
Harry's just
throat.
Like here, this is easier, and
because it was in the Half-Blood Prince's book.
And then Slughorn takes it and is like, haha, funny, and puts it back in his
yeah.
in his bag or whatever. And so Harry's, and then that's like the very same night.
Yeah.
So Harry's like, oh, that thing that I used today that can cure
right.
all, counteract all poisons, it's right there in that bag, and he just does it so quickly.
Yeah.
I think Slughorn doesn't really have time to process. It's just Harry was just, it was all on the tip of his tongue. Front
so
of his mind,
when that scene
whatever.
Was happening, I'm thinking, oh, they're going to do something else. They're not going to use the
bezoar
because
we didn't
we
talk
haven't
about
been
it.
Introduced to it.
Yeah.
And if you had not read the books, you would be wondering, what did he just shove down?
I think
Ron's
it
throat?
Was on one page when he was flipping through.
It
but
was
it, how
but,
would
but
you
it
read
was in
that?
Like, no, nobody could read it. It was like in like calligraphy.
I think there was like one page where it was like, just use a bezoar, and it was underlined. But it was while he was flipping through, and if you didn't know to look for it.
Oh, you're talking about the book. I thought I was talking about when Harry's pulling out the drawers and he finds the box that
yeah,
the,
no, I think
the bezoar is in. I'm looking to see if it had like any kind of markings or anything on it.
No, one of the scenes where Harry's flipping through
mm-hmm.
the book, I think we do pause on that page.
See, that.
But again,
that should have been. That could have easily been in there.
A scene.
And that would have made more sense to have that scene in there.
And then he, when he comes into the little kid, like the younger kids are having potions class, and Harry comes in to confront him for the first time, he mentions it in mm-hmm. that scene. Slughorn does. Mm-hmm. Or anything he says. Remember, if all else fails, Beezor work, blah, blah, blah. Like at the very end of the class when Harry's walking in. Or I don't even know if Harry's walked in yet, but the camera
is
in.
It's so passing, though, that if you had not read the books, you would not have any idea mm-hmm. what saved Ron and why.
Yeah.
You know, Dumbledore calls it a bazaar later on. Oh, that was smart to use that. But he didn't say it was smart to use that because it
counteracts,
you know,
all poisons. Yeah. Or most poisons.
So that
or
seemed
whatever.
Like a big plot hole. To me, that could have easily been put in there, and it wouldn't have had to be a long scene. The Sectum Sempra scene in the bathroom, we had no Moaning Myrtle there, and Snape just comes in and starts healing.
There's no questions
asked. Yeah, there's no
questions.
No, starts healing.
What'd you do? Where'd you get this
Draco.
Book? Show me the book.
Right.
None of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it's Harry and Jenny that take the book to the Room of Requirement to hide it. And that's where they have their first kiss mm-hmm. in the movie. And that's where Harry sees the bird fly out of the vanishing cabinet. I thought the Felix Felicity scene was great. I thought it was well done by everybody that was in it. You know, from Slughorn trying to steal the leaves from Madame Pomfrey's greenhouse to I thought Daniel Radcliffe was great. You know, kind of like in that like half drunk phase that Felix Felicity puts you in. I thought that was very well done. I thought stuff with Hagrid and Slughorn in the cabin as they're getting progressively intoxicated was a lot of fun. And I thought that was pretty accurate to the book. I thought that was really well done and well represented.
The only thing we miss is that he didn't wear his invisibility cloak mm-hmm. and he didn't bump into Jenny on his way out the door, mm-hmm. which is what triggers her to break up with Dean.
Mm-hmm.
We just did all that sooner and progress the Harry Jenny thing. Why is the Harry Jenny scene so like cringe?
Which one? The one?
All of them. Open up, you. And then she like shoves a cookie in his mouth. Mm-hmm. Don't you trust me? And then shoelace. Like, it's just so weird.
It's because it's so rushed in the movies. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
The romance.
They couldn't have just a normal Pearson conversation. She couldn't sit down and be like, I made these cookies. Do you want to try one? She had to go, open up, you. Mm-hmm. Don't you trust me? And I didn't even understand what she said. You had the subtitles on. I answered most of it.
I had to have the subtitles on because I can't understand what British people are saying. Okay.
But when she gave that line, I'm like, what? And I read it. And I was like, open up, you.
Like,
okay.
Even when they go into the Room of Requirement, like, close your eyes. I don't want you to be tempted.
And then she kisses him and she disappears and just leaves him there.
Uh-huh.
It's like, huh?
Yeah. The whole romance between them, weird. If you only watch the movies, makes no sense.
No.
Makes absolutely no sense. And we've talked about that before. The tainted Slughorn memory. We don't even hear the word Horcrux until we see the real Slughorn memory later on, which is very different from the book. In the books, Tom, in the tainted memory, ask about Horcruxes, and that's when Slughorn's, oh, how dare you ask about that? Don't you ever come back here again.
I do think that this is a little bit of a fix. Like, it's better this way, because
mm-hmm.
I feel like if Dumbledore knew that he'd asked about Horcruxes, Dumbledore knows everything about everything. So, and if he didn't, he'd be like, oh, Horcruxes, let me go look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's ripping the soul and
yeah,
it's putting your...
Sense.
Like, he would know. Would he know about the seven times? No. But I feel like this is better. It makes a little more sense that it would stump him rather than he can just... I've got enough information, I can wing it.
There was no backstory about Voldemort's parents, Tom Sr. and Merope. We don't get any of
none of that.
Just any of those flashbacks.
Him standing there. He's got the ring when he talks to mm-hmm. Slughorn. He's got the ring, so you know he already went. But you don't know any of that stuff if you didn't read the books.
We don't learn of the Inferi, the lake zombies, until after Dumbledore has already drunk the potion. In the book, we see them and sense them as we're going across the lake. Mm. But Harry has no idea they're there until, you know, maybe Dumbledore should have said something. When I drink this potion, just so you know,
don't touch the water.
There might be zombies in the lake. Well,
they were only triggered when you touched the water, so it would have just been, don't touch the water.
Uh-huh.
Like, that would have been very simple. Like, you see them? And I think he says in the book, like, if we don't bother them, they won't bother us kind of deal. But just don't touch the water.
The scene in the astronomy tower at the end, Harry is not under a binding spell. He's just hiding below deck there while everything
is happening.
Just
being trusting.
Which seems off character for him.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he, especially after the backup showed up, after Draco's backup showed up, I feel like Harry should have
backed up.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
like, one-on-one, Dumbledore's fine. Yeah. No, the odds have shifted.
He's outnumbered.
Let me just stand up here and pretend.
The Dark Mark wasn't in the book. The Dark Mark is what lures Harry and Dumbledore to the tower.
Yes.
But in the movie, Bellatrix sends it up after Dumbledore's death. So that was different.
Yep.
Like you said, no battle in the castle. No Bill Weasley, Greyback.
Nobody getting hurt.
Nobody getting hurt. Everybody's fine.
Everybody's fine. Except for Dumbledore.
And of course, no funeral at the end. Nobody coming in from out of town to honor Dumbledore. I don't know. Is that something that they start off like the next movie with or something?
I think so, because I feel like I remember seeing it. Mm-hmm. So, and Harry does have that, well, part of the conversation about the locket being fake before the funeral, and he has the other half of the conversation after. So maybe they thought, well, we'll just do this bit and then open with the rest.
Was the note in the book as detailed as the note that was in the movie that was inside the locket?
I think so.
Okay. I couldn't remember offhand.
The gist was the same, I think. Maybe it was a little shorter.
And that's pretty much it, unless you have anything else, any other big takeaways from either the book or the movie version of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Just that I'm mad there was no battle. I've said this before, and you know, you didn't know what I was really referring to, but yeah, it really bugs me that the Battle of Hogwarts just didn't exist in the movie version of the story.
Well, maybe that's something that'll be fixed in the HBO Max series. Maybe we'll get a lot of expanded scenes and expanded backstory and some fixes to make you and Kelly more happy with a more accurate representation of the book. So are we done? Are we ready to move on to the final book?
Yeah, we're ready.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for sticking with us, downloading, listening, and subscribing. Go ahead and spread the word about Broomsticks and Butterbeer. Remember, if you do spread the word, years 1 and 2 are on a different feed than years 3 through 7. So we had to do that for the sake of our podcast hoster. So Broomsticks and Butterbeer, years 1 and 2. And then when you're ready to join us for year 3, you'll hop over to the main feed. And go ahead and subscribe, and you'll get the episodes as soon as they are posted on the interwebs.
Ooh.
And various podcast platforms. And all that technical mumbo jumbo that I don't understand. I just press buttons like this one.
Alrighty then.
You want to press a button before we sign off here?
Which one do I want?
Something that sums up your feelings about book 6.
Book 6.
That's very accurate.
Hi.
Thank you to the Inner Circle, Jennifer, Catherine, Amelia, Jane, Ronnie, Anastasia, Kelly, Olivia, Jenny, and Emma. And the next time you hear from us, we will be on the final book in the Harry Potter saga, that being Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Are we going to stop in the middle of the book and do a movie? Because there's two movies for one book.
I was thinking about that, too. I'm thinking we should just read the book and then do a movie marathon back to back.
All right. I'm down.
Again, thanks, everybody, for downloading, listening, and subscribing. I'm going to skip emails today because this is already a long episode, but shoot us an email, broomsticks.butterbeer@gmail.com. Follow us on X at BroomsticksB, on Instagram at BroomsticksB Podcast, on Blue Sky at BroomsticksB. We're on Facebook as well, and you can message us on any of those platforms, and we'll give you a shout out or answer your question on the air. Until next time, be a wizard, be a witch, be a muggle, be a squib, but don't be a jerk.
Or a git.
And we'll see you for book 7.
Bye.
This magic moment, so different and so new, was like any other, until I kissed you, and then it happened. It took me